easy it is to slide back into fault mode, living according to my own sin nature, instead of living in dependence mode, relying daily on the Word of God and my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the first one is Proverbs 14:12 that says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Circle those two words, seems right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the Bible says it ends in death. The other verse of Scripture is found in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, and God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. These two verses always drive me back to my knees. These two verses always remind me that I'm desperate for God. By the way, that's one of the most healthiest places you can be, is on your knees, desperate for God. If you think you've got all the answers, you're in a bad place. If you think you've got it figured out and you're this wise person that everybody else needs to listen to all the time, you're in a bad place. One of the best places you can be is on your knees, desperate for God, because the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Those two verses remind me, Irvin, stay on your knees, stay in the Word, and stay in church. But the problem was this. This problem, back during these Old Testament times, is really familiar with the problem that we have today. You see, the problem was that the Jews oftentimes spent more time studying the rabbinical writings, what Jesus called the traditions of men, than they did the Holy Scriptures. The problem was that these religious leaders spent more time studying and reading other stuff than they did the Word of God. You see, they viewed the Scriptures as a sacred memorial of the past. They viewed the Scriptures as some relic rather than the divinely inspired Word of God. And so when they needed spiritual direction, the ancient Jew oftentimes was more likely to look to the traditions of Judaism than he was the Hebrew Scriptures. So the question for you and I this morning is this. When I need spiritual direction in life, who do I look to? Do I look to my wife? Do I look to my parents? Do I look to my friends? Do I look to my counselor? Who do I look to? All that will depend on what you truly believe in here about God's Word. And you see, the problem was that these rabbinical teachings including, listen to this, they included next to nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that crazy? I was talking to Cody Hodges yesterday, a gentleman that came and spoke to us at our FCA kickoff. And I was telling him that a good friend of mine had called me from Missouri and was telling me that they had also had an FCA kickoff. I was telling Jeremy how great ours was. And that they had also had an FCA kickoff, and they invited one of the most, I would dare to say, one of the top 10 most famous NFL players of all time to speak. And I asked Jeremy, so Jeremy, how'd it go? And he said it was a huge disappointment. I said, why? He said he didn't mention Christ. He said all he did was get up and talk about himself and his accomplishments. And I said, wow. And he said, Chris, there were scores of people there. And all this man did was get up and talk about himself. All the records he had set or broke. And he never mentioned Christ. Whereas the Holy Scriptures testify to the good news of Jesus Christ from beginning to end. Yet even two of Christ's own disciples refused to believe what the Scriptures taught about Him. In fact, He rebuked them on the road to Emmaus, saying this to them in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets, all that the Old Testament has spoken." And then Jesus, the Bible says, took the Scriptures and He explained His death and His resurrection to them using the Old Testament. Using the Old Testament, the Bible says in Luke 24, He took the Scriptures and explained the gospel story to these followers of His. In fact, verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses," and that term there, "with Moses," is talking about the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, called the Pentateuch. In Hebrew language, it's called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible that people say Moses wrote. And in the beginning with Moses, and there it is again with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all of the Scriptures concerning Himself. And then in verse 32, they said to one another, "Were our hearts not burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us?" And so it's important to understand that the good news is really the old news promised in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, in your notes this morning, in Jesus Christ, God became a man who would die for all men, becoming the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. In Jesus Christ, God became a man who would die for all men, becoming the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. Look back at verse 3. "Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now this is interesting, because even though Jesus is God, He is also the Son of God. And this truth is plainly seen throughout the Scriptures. In fact, there is said to be over 320 prophecies concerning Christ in the Old Testament. And clearly, in order to fulfill these prophecies, specifically 2 Samuel 7, Psalm 89, Isaiah 11, and Jeremiah 23, Jesus had to be a descendant of David. He had to be a descendant of David, because only in being a descendant of David could He then inherit the right to restore and rule David's kingdom. This kingdom that the Bible says would never end, and this kingdom that the Bible says is of everlasting peace. In fact, in Isaiah 9:7, the Bible says, "Of the increase of His government, Christ's government and peace, there will be no end. He, Jesus Christ, will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And so Jesus Christ would be born to human parents, Joseph and Mary. He would live right alongside all the rest of human beings here on planet Earth, identifying with all their temptations, identifying with all their weaknesses, yet without ever sinning. Never sinning one time, the Bible says. Christ would then be qualified to become our high priest, the man that would stand between us and God and justify us with a holy God. He would stand between us and God, fully man and fully God. Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God, in order that He could, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, sympathize with our weaknesses as one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And then listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Emptied himself. One of the comments that was made to me after Cody Hodges spoke the other night was, he didn't talk about himself. He didn't talk about all of his accomplishments. He talked about Jesus Christ. Taking on the form of a bond servant. You see, Cody gets that. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then listen to Romans 5, 18 through 19. So, then as through one transgression, as through that one sin of Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men. Underline that phrase, resulted condemnation to all men. You see, we were all born after Adam. And when he sinned, his sin separated from him from God, and he now had a sin nature which we are all born into. But here's the good news. Even so, through the one act of righteousness of Jesus Christ, there resulted justification of life to all men. Amen. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, because we were all born into that sin, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And that, my friends, is the gospel. That, my friends, is the good news of Jesus Christ, that even though we've all been born under this curse of sin, through Adam's one transgression, we can all be set free when we believe in the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8, 1, there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the good news is really the old news. It was promised in the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, God became a man who would die for all men. We'll see all this in a second, again, becoming the perfect sacrifice because he never once sinned for the whole world. Now look in your notes at 1 John 4. This is important. There's an important implication here, because a lot of people acknowledge Jesus, but they don't acknowledge he is God. The Bible says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. In fact, this spirit is from the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. What Paul is saying here, or excuse me, John is saying here, he's referring to believing that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Lord of all that came from God as the promised Messiah that would save God's people from their sins. Now, let me give you some names and what they mean real quick. The name Jesus, if you want to write this in your notes, because this helps you understand the gospel. The name Jesus means Savior. The name Christ means Anointed One. He was anointed by God. He was chosen by God. So Jesus means Savior. Christ means Anointed One. The name Lord means Sovereign Ruler. And the name Messiah means Deliverer. And so John is referring to believing that Jesus, our Savior, was the Christ, the anointed one, chosen by God to be Lord over all, to be the sovereign ruler of the universe that would come from God as the promised Messiah to deliver all God's people from their sins. And that's the gospel Paul is preaching, in the book of Romans. And it's the same good news that is presented in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Now look at verse 4. Talking about Jesus, Paul says this. He was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is cool. Paul is saying that even though Jesus is God, he is also the Son of God. And he has been declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection. In fact, in Acts 13:33, he is declared the Son of God through the resurrection. The Bible says that God made this promise come true for us, his children, by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And we also read about this in Psalm 2, where God says, "You are my son, and today I have become your father." And so therefore, number 3 in your notes, the irrefutable evidence that points to Jesus Christ as being the Son of God is the resurrection. The irrefutable evidence that points to Jesus Christ being the Son of God is the resurrection. That's why billions of people all over this planet, all over this world, celebrate Easter every year. That's why Christians worship on Sunday. The Sabbath was on Saturday. Christians began worshiping on Sunday after Jesus rose from the grave. And you see, there are scores of people throughout history who have been willing to admit that Jesus lived in the first century. There's really no argument about that. There are scores of people that have written about Jesus Christ who lived in the first century, and they said he lived a commendable life. They said he was a great teacher, and they said he had a great following. There's no shortage of people who believe these things, but they do not believe in Jesus Christ's divinity. Put another way, they do not believe he was God in the flesh. But that's not the Jesus the Bible speaks of. God's word demands that we recognize the divinity of his Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, to believe that Jesus Christ was merely a human being, that he was merely a great teacher, that he was merely a great prophet, and deny that he is the Son of God, supernaturally conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And according to the Scriptures, Jesus Christ is eternally God. We're going to see this in just a moment. He willingly took upon himself the role as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. The Bible says that Christ graciously humbled himself, giving up the glory of heaven, and he submitted himself to the will of God, to his heavenly Father, even to the point of dying on a cross. Listen to his prayer in John chapter 17, right before he goes to the cross. "I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father," listen to what he says very, very carefully, "glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Glorify, Heavenly Father, I've done everything you've asked me to do down here on earth. Now glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before this world was ever created. You see, Jesus leaves no room for believing that he was just a good man. Listen to the Apostle John's testimony concerning Christ in John 1:1-4. "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. And then in verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then in verse 14, the Bible says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. That phrase, one and only, is speaking of Jesus Christ. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And then in John 3, with verses 16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And that, my friend, is the good news of Jesus Christ that Paul presents in the book of Romans. Jesus said about himself in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You see, it's never enough just to know stuff about Jesus. He loved you enough to die for you. Christ loves you so much that he would rather come down here and die the worst death you could die, on a cross, as a criminal, rather than bear the thought of spending eternity without you. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to learn to love him. He wants you to learn to be loved by him. I'm going to ask you, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning. The question for you this morning is simple. Have you believed the good news? Have you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the name of Jesus Christ? Have you believed in his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead? Have you received his free gift of forgiveness for all your sins and his eternal life by placing your trust in him as the Lord of your life? If not, you can do that today. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You don't even have to say a prayer. This just helps people understand it is all. You can do that today by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You can just say something like this in your heart, because all that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I realize I am desperate for you. I realize without you I'm messed up, and I realize that when I'm living according to my own ways, it leads to death. But I believe in you. I believe that you love me enough to die for me, that you are God, that you came here, you became a man, so that you could reveal what God is like, and ultimately so you could walk to the cross and die on the cross for me. So that your blood would wash away my sins and I could have eternal life. I could be free from my sins, from all the guilt and all the shame that goes with that. And so, Lord, today I trust you. I trust you. I believe in who you are, and I want to receive your salvation. I want to receive this free gift of salvation that I can't earn, but I receive it just like I receive a Christmas gift, just because somebody loved me enough to give it to me. And I thank you for saving me today. And I pray that you would help me to grow, stay in your word, stay on my knees, and stay in church. That you would help me to grow in my relationship with you, and don't allow me to start doing life again on my own. Because I realize now how far your thoughts are from mine and how far your ways are from mine. Carter's going to play for a minute, and I'm going to come down here to the front. The best place you can be is on your knees before God. That's the most healthiest place you can be. Maybe today you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. I'm going to be at the front so you can come share that with me. Maybe today you saw the importance of baptism. Maybe you've trusted Christ a long time ago, but you've never followed him in baptism. Following Christ in baptism is like wearing your wedding ring. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you're a Christian. Maybe you just want to get on your knees before the Lord and spend some time with him today. But whatever God's leading you to do, feel free to come forward this morning. And whatever happens, don't worry about what other people think. Just get up and come forward and be obedient to the Lord this morning if he's leading.